Welcome back, true believers, to our ongoing Marvelous Marvel Marathon, as I've called it. We're here with the usual gang and a guest.
Justin Morgan.
Chris Kevall.
You like skipped yourself. You're like, you? Next.
Jeremy Corey.
Chuck Phillips.
And today we continue chronologically with Captain America, the first Avenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I hope you guys like the episode.
That's the episode.
But every time you say true believers, I always think I want to do like the X-Files. Like
that's what Stan Lee called the readers of Marvel Comics true believers.
Oh.
Yeah. In all his editorials or like letters and stuff, he'd always be like, "Welcome back, true believers," or something. Like, that's why I'm
over my own head. Mm-hmm. James has been sneaking Marvel facts on me.
Yeah, a few episodes I've ended with Excelsior. That's how Stan Lee ends everything he writes.
I caught that. Now, there was a Spider-Man video game, and that is... He did say the True Believers thing in that.
Yeah.
It was like an Activision game. I don't even think it was good. I just really wanted to be Spider-Man, and I was like, this sucks. This game's off.
Yeah, like, he narrates a couple games and a couple old, like, Marvel cartoons where he uses that, too. He calls people True Believers.
Well, Captain America is the fifth Marvel movie.
And the last one before the Avengers.
Yeah.
And it came out a couple months after Thor. So this was a couple months later. I would say that Captain America, when I saw it in theaters, I liked it more than Thor. And after rewatching Thor and then this, I kind of have more respect for Thor. Not that I think that Thor is the most enjoyable movie of all time.
I think Thor tries to, like... Kenneth Branagh, I think, has more of a vision than Joe Johnston does. Joe Johnston's very paint by the numbers, like...
Everything?
Nothing feels... Like, nothing stands out. Like, he does it very much, like... He feels like the director that somebody hires when they're like, we just need this movie to come out at this specific date, and you're not going to ask questions about what you're going to do, and you're going to follow the script 100%. And he's like, I can do that.
I think exactly him with the Wolfman remake.
Yeah, like, he's just following whatever, like, they give him the script, and he's like... I'm not going to change a thing about this.
I don't hate the character of Captain America, but I felt like this movie and Thor were just set up to give an explanation of who he is before he shows up in the Avengers. You could have easily cut one of these characters and just had him show up in the Avengers. But, and I think Captain America has really good character arcs later in other Marvel movies, but this one was like, just everything was happening the way a superhero movie happens. Like, the origin story was pretty much the same.
Except for the very beginning of it. I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Because at the very beginning, it's about him being the underdog. It's about him being the...
That's every superhero.
No.
That's Spider-Man.
It's Spider-Man, yeah.
The underdog.
But... It's not every single superhero. Thor starts out with powers. I mean, yeah, he becomes an underdog, and then, you know, later on in the movie, evolves to being the righteous leader. But like with Captain America, it's almost like he has to struggle to be a part of something. Like it's not so much about him becoming better. He's a better person. And they actually touch on this in the movie about him, you know, it's his humanity that makes him the superhero. It's not his superpowers.
I read something about Captain America as a character, and I guess I should preface this: Captain America is my favorite Marvel character, and I wanted a Captain America movie for a long time, and he's still one of my favorite he's still one of my favorite superheroes.
Didn't you have one in like the 70s?
Yeah, there are two shitty TV movies in the 70s.
The clear plastic shield and the motorcycle helmet.
There's also one in the 90s.
Yeah, the straight to video one in the 90s, which I loved as a kid.
Yes.
But yeah, I love Captain America as a hero and as a character, and this article is reading brought up that like Cap might be one of the best superheroes of all time because unlike the other superheroes, he asked for it. Like, none of the superheroes really asked to have this thrust upon them, but they embraced it in their own way, but Cap wanted it. He wanted to be a hero. He wanted to help people, which is why I've always liked him as a character and why I think, for the most part, like, I have my issues with this movie, I'm sure we'll go into, but I think, for the most part, at least the first half of this movie, I think really nails the character of Steve Rogers. It's just a guy who really wants to do the right thing and help people, but obviously because of his physical stature, he, you know, is denied that chance to do it.
And that's why I say it's not the atypical superhero movie, because yes, he is the underdog, and that's how every superhero movie starts. Fine, but it's more about Cap. It's more about Steve Rogers, like he said, than it is about Captain America. It's about where he started from and how he evolves.
I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but like, this is the type of movie that it's like too expository and everything. Like, it wants to tell you everything like so many times.
It's so on the nose.
You know, before I saw this movie, I'm like, he's small, he's gonna get strong, he's gonna fight Nazis, he's gonna end up in modern times. There's no worry what's gonna happen to him. There's characters that they could have maybe, I mean, don't want to see like another damsel in distress, but the people that he saves, like, he chooses to save Bucky, and there's a point, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. He does choose to save a friend that he knows, but there's never like a character that he's really, really close to. It's just like a bunch of random people.
Peggy.
Does he save Peggy?
No. I didn't. You said he's not close.
Are you talking about all the people that
Agent
he saved?
Carter.
Peggy Carter.
She almost dies in the movie too. They almost drive off a cliff. I don't actually know how that didn't happen. But my thing about it is, I kind of liked the beginning. I actually thought it's still impressive, the special effects to make him look super skinny.
Yeah.
I understand him wanting to help out, and that he's bullied and everything. I mean, they really drive that point in. And I do like that aspect from a character, but he's... I don't know, just like in the theater watching Propaganda, this is like was a weird beginning scene for like Steve, where he's so into it that he gets in a fight with this other guy, and Bucky Barnes, the bully, ends up beating him up in like an alleyway, and his buddy Bucky lazily beats the fuck out of this guy. He didn't even look like he barely swung.
It was very cartoonish, where he just like kicks him in the butt, and he's like, "That's right, you get out of here."
He looked like he can't even move in that uniform, but he That's like the first out of five times that Captain America has a shield of some sort.
Yeah,
they love their shield foreshadowing.
Their foreshadowing, yeah.
I really liked something like Stanley Tucci listening and being like, "This would be a good candidate." I think they push because he's in the medical office. He can't join the military. He's watching Propaganda. He's sad about not joining the military.
He goes to the World's Fair and sees all the
Yeah, he's so stuff. Sad about the military. He tries to join the military again. They didn't have to show all that. You could have easily
cut some more of that and maybe beefed up like maybe the villain.
Maybe him
maybe given a little bit more of that.
Right, and like Stanley Tucci says, "Oh, I see that you've applied five times, and that's kind of like what we're looking for."
Mm-hmm.
They could have just had him continue to say, like, "Yeah, well, you've applied that many times." They could have almost started it at the World Fair on a date with this guy. You know what they could have had, too? They could have had maybe more of a girl like him. He's who I'm dating. And made it more like he's not a desirable guy. And I think that might have been a little bit more interesting, because it wouldn't have taken away from him being like a...
But wouldn't that have digressed from the importance of him being Captain America? You know, because it is about him being patriotic, and it is about him being more the...
I don't think it would take away from it, because it's still there.
But I mean, well, like, you're pretty much digressing from being about him trying to get into the army... into, you know, just the fact that he's small and now he's not respected by women or his date or whoever.
Well, you see him not respected by some other people,
yeah.
So maybe that's something that you should drive into a little bit more.
Yeah.
You get people in the military, like in the office, like making fun of him when he was doing his physical. The people are skeptical at the physical.
That could be a little bit more mean-spirited.
You don't have to have like a super mean girl, but just sort of like she's just not interested in him. Not
okay.
That she's going to be mean to him, but just something a little bit more like a little bit different than what you've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it just sounds like I'm hating on the movie, but I think, like, there's a lot of cool things. One of my favorite things in the movie is actually shortly after he goes through the serum change and becomes Captain America and he's all buff and stuff. They kill Stanley Tucci, Hydra, like a secret assassin. He follows him and he's chasing this guy. Now, I'm not exactly in love with the weird CG chasing, but there's a moment where a kid gets thrown into the water.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I have the line written down somewhere in here. But he throws him in the water, and the kid's just like, go get him, I can swim.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and I was like, that is like the one thing where it kind of went in a different direction than what I was expecting.
That is, that's my favorite part in the movie, too, where the kid's like, I can swim, go get him.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of, like, you're talking about the cartoony, like, kicking the guy in the butt. You got to remember, in the 40s when movies were made, these were things that you saw in movies. So maybe Joe Johnson was I'm not saying like he's a mastermind.
Oh, he's definitely trying to
but
homage.
He's trying to homage the classic.
He's definitely doing that.
You know what I would have really liked to see more, and I think would have been a more interesting movie?
Go on.
If they kind of went a little Godfather 2 with it, where it was him waking up in modern times and having to kind of maybe remember things or go back to things of before.
Yeah.
Because you honestly don't have to go back to the 40s to be like, oh, he's got values of the 40s. And now it's weird because they're tying into this story that, you know, obviously what we find out in the next movie, spoiling a little bit, Coulson has like a card or a trading card. And it's just weird because like, in Iron Man 2, there's a Captain America shield that's laying around. Tony should know what that is. Like, Tony, of all people, should know what that was.
He seemed to know. He just didn't seem to care.
Yeah, it was more like I've been around this all my life. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah. And I think that's probably one of the things that hurts this film is this film had a really tall order where it introduced Captain America, introduced the Tesseract, which is the MacGuffin in the Avengers, and then introduce, like, who Captain America is in the Marvel Universe, where they have to establish that he had this lengthy World War II career where he kind of established himself as a legend. And, you know, so you kind of have to... You have to get his origin, you have to introduce all his characters, but then it basically becomes, like, a montage where it shows, like, look at all the cool things Captain America did.
Yeah.
Instead of civilians being... amazed with him and being in all these movies where they make fun of him for being in the movies, it'd almost be better if he was like the secret weapon that's classified, so they knew what they were looking for when they
like
found him,
but
normal people wouldn't know who he is.
But I liked that they took it, and you know, you think that from the moment that he gets a serum, he's going to go out and kick ass and it's just going to be action, and here it is, he's been benched into being a showpiece.
Yeah, what happened with that? Why was that there? Why did they do the test to make him a super soldier and then bench him and make him like a
I think because they were skeptical. I think because they were cynical about what he was going to be able to do and how he was going to be able to do it. So they were just like, well, at least he looks patriotic, so we'll just throw a uniform on him and have him sell bonds. So have him sell war bonds.
Yeah, that they seemed upset that because they wanted an army and they only had one.
Yeah,
right? What were you doing with this one guy? So, but I do love that war bond scene. I love like the cheesy Captain America costume from the comics. I love like the little musical bit. Him punching Hitler, like the homage to the first issue.
That's my favorite line later in the movie. Do you know what you're doing? I've personally punched Hitler 200 times.
Yeah, I like that.
I like the idea of going with the cheesy costume that was like for his acting, and then he kind of like progresses into like a better version of the
badass. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's not that it's a bad movie. It just feels like it was a rushed movie. It's almost like when I watch in theaters, I thought it kept my interest. But anytime I've done like a Marvel rewatch, it's the one where I'm like find myself just really not caring what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and when I was watching it for this, you know, there's a point where I'm like, I'm coming back around on this movie. This movie's really good. For the first half of the movie, I think it's great. And then I get to the second half
detracts from it completely.
Yeah, and that's when I really kind of lose interest.
It's like right after he saves Bucky, because like they're doing all that character building, and then he saves Bucky, and then after that, it's like, yeah, they're like, that's when they're like, Tommy Lee Jones is like, you think you can wipe him off the map? And he's like, yeah. And then yeah, it's just that CGI action. explosion. And like everything, like,
let's slow mo. It doesn't look that good. We're gonna slow mo it.
Yeah, and then it's like, you. That's where like you lose like. They basically just stop building the Red Skull as a character halfway through the movie too. Like as soon as he escapes, you just never see him for till literally the end of the film. Basically,
also the espionage aspect was pretty cool in the beginning, where they go to Brooklyn and that they do that secret code, which is maybe a little cheesy, but it's cool that they have the base in the back. And I do like the guy that they're chasing down has a cyanide tooth. Yeah. I was like, that's pretty dope that he's got a cyanide tooth.
Mm-hmm.
The Hail Hydra thing in the comic books, because you're the comic book guy, did they do the double fist thing? It seems so weird.
I actually do not remember.
Well, they can't do the single. They had to separate themselves from the regular Nazis.
It's so weird. And
It's because it's so forceful. Like, they don't just raise their hands. Like, when they're in the background, they're like, Hail Hydra! Yeah, and they, like, get, like, really intense and do it.
We're twice as evil as the Nazis. We do both fists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is another technical question. Wolfenstein. And the original comic of Captain America. This, like, Nazis taking over, doing experiments with, like, machines. And they have, like, the same style. Do you know what came first?
Captain America?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't...
It had that style in the comic books, and then the game came out.
I don't think... I don't know that Captain America did, like, the occult... I don't know if that was ever.
Yeah, the old comics are just pretty much pulpy World War II comics. They didn't have, like, the futuristic tech.
They've probably done it now. I would say Wolfenstein probably was the first one to do, like, the occult, like, trying to find, like, hidden powers and stuff like that.
And this is weird, too, because, like, when Nazis are taking over and you see, like, the science and Nazis, everything's so big. And I thought in this movie things were, like, enormous. Like, the car was enormous. There was a base.
The car's like 20 feet long.
Yeah.
There was a base where you couldn't see the end of the base. And
too grandiose.
The Tekken just set me on a weird internet rabbit hole, because, like, I bought the anachronisms. I bought that they have the futuristic tech. But then there's a point where Red Skull and Toby Jones, Armin Azula, are watching a security cam. And I'm like, were security cams around back then?
Mm-hmm.
And I got this weird thing. I'm like, they're using film, but he couldn't use film. Did he invent video? And I'm like, holy shit, why is he working? He should be like a billionaire.
It reminds me, I had a similar thing when we were watching, we watched Cowboys versus Aliens. And there's randomly a part where a guy pulls out a box of matches, starts pulling like single matches out of a box. And I was like, I don't think they had box of matches. I think they just had single packs. And like, from that point on, like, I was just distracted, like, they definitely didn't have boxes of matches. And, like, then I had to look it up later. I'm like, that movie took place in, like, 1835. And I'm, like, looking up matches. And it's, like, strike-on-box matches were invented in 1901
or that's like
Django, something like that.
Django Unchained. They're, like, they did have sunglasses, but people didn't wear them for style.
I looked it up, and they did have closed-circuit cameras back in the day. But they weren't – but, like, when it came to surveillance, like, you – it basically, you had to know what you're looking at. Like, if it was very poorly lit, that they wouldn't be getting anything. But
my nitpick that I was like, I wasn't even gonna say, because I'm like, I'm not gonna nitpick. But this is like when you're watching a movie, like, well, we did Spider-Man 2. Unbelievable Spider-Man 2, and this person gets drug across the floor, and they have nail marks in the floor, and I'm thinking, that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
Mind you, there's a guy sticking the walls and shooting spider webs and shit. And Captain America, it's like, he has these superpowers. I believe it. But there's a part where they zip line onto a train, and I'm like, that train would be so slippery. They wouldn't be able to walk on that train. They would. It's going like 200 miles per hour.
It's like just solid steel on top.
Yeah.
Through the icy mountains.
The train scene sequence ended up being kind of cool, though. It reminded me of something more like an Indiana Jones, where he's, like, fighting the Nazis and blowing up parts of the train.
Yeah, I did like that, and that led to probably another one of my favorite parts of the movie, the scene where he's mourning Bucky, and he's trying to get drunk, but because of his regenerative abilities, he can't.
Yeah.
Like, I think Chris Evans' acting is really good in that. I like Hayley Atwell in that scene. And it's a really heartbreaking scene.
Oh, excuse me.
And it's probably my favorite part of the last half of the movie. Because it's like
the only time it slows down.
Yeah.
I like that Hallie Atwood, or however you say her name. She's really good in this movie. She's in the Black Mirror. I've seen her. I didn't watch the show, but
I wasn't a fan of the show, actually.
They could have done the show so much better.
Yeah. I know it has its fans, and I felt bad for not liking it, because I really wanted to, but I thought it was...
So, you don't have to feel bad for not liking
it. I continued on with it, but it gave no reward.
Like, yeah, I watched, I think, half of season two.
It was building to something better, but they never got that far, because they couldn't get an audience.
Yeah, I feel like such a hater, because there are so many things with this movie. Like, when they reveal that Johann Schmidt is a scientist... through dialogue, and it makes no sense, because he doesn't, first of all, he seems like a military person, and he has no idea of how things, I don't see a scientist, like, grabbing onto energy the way that he does,
at the end,
in, like, a very dangerous, unscientifical way.
Well, let's face it, they kind of made Red Skull in this movie. They made him Joseph Mengele, they made him Hitler, and they made him Goebbels all in one.
Like, they basically did take all the worst Nazis and...
Yeah, and just, like...
And, like, Chuck brought up that, like, his character kind of grinds to a halt. And, like, I love the Red Skull as a villain. And I think in this movie, I think he's probably one of the most underrated Marvel villains. But a lot of it comes from Hugo Weaving's performance, which I think is great. But, yeah, halfway through the movie, he just kind of becomes, like, the angry villain that's like, stop that! Like,
yeah. And his plot is, like... It's the most basic, like, we'll take over the world. Yeah. Why? Because we can.
Where is he going to attack? Everywhere. Yeah. Where? Just everywhere.
It's almost comedic, because there's almost no reason what he's doing.
And it also seems like, was there anything in this movie that really made you, like, laugh? Like, the joke was really good?
No, but Stanley's cameo?
Yeah.
That scene did make me laugh, and it's not even one of his good ones.
But that's the way the 40s humor was, you know? It wasn't... I mean... They would laugh, you know, like my dad would laugh at something like that, but, you know...
I think I like Sullivan's Travels for, like, 40s humor, and not this.
Yeah.
For, like, the Marx Brothers or something.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the humor that's weird, like, take my car, but don't... There better not be a scratch on it. Everything's fucking blowing up.
That
like,
is such a good villain moment where like Zola's like, "What about me?" And he like,
"There's only one seat."
Yeah, he gives him the keys. And he's like, "Not a scratch." And you realize like he wants his car saved. He doesn't care about Zola. He's like, "Just get my car out of here." But I do like. There's one moment that I think is funny, but for where like, the guy's painting the Red Skull, and you don't see the skull's face, and I like. And it's such a weird, like, this guy is so egotistical. He's like, yeah, paint me. And, like, my scarred, weird, skull-like face, because I'm going to be awesome one day. Like, it's...
They hide his skull a little bit, too, which I thought was a little clever. Like, when Toby Jones comes in and the light quickly, like, turns off, you know? Yeah.
But I think they ruin it when they show him being painted. Like, it should have been, you didn't see his face until that reveal at the end. Like, hands down.
I mean, he makes a line like, what makes you so special? Nothing. That's not true. I mean, I guess to your character, you would think that nothing makes you special.
Well, the thing is, what's he going to say? My heart. You know, like, it almost...
Well, I think the point line of Red Skull is like, why are you worthy of this power I have? And he's like, you know... I'm just a kid from Brooklyn, that's the whole thing. That's why he was worthy, whereas the skull thought himself, even before this, he thought he was superior to everyone else.
And that's where I think Steve's power truly comes from, is his humanity. Mm-hmm. It's his heart. It's not...
Yeah, but my problem with that is it's just... It's so blatantly out there that that's what he's supposed to be. Like, there's no debate about that that's what he's supposed to be.
I think you get more of that in the next movie, and in the next Captain America, because that's when he starts to question everything.
That's why I feel like the person he is in this movie, he doesn't really get a lot of chance to change and become anything. So it's a good starting point for the other movies, but for this movie, I mean, in Avengers, they get some jokes about him being like not up with the times, but with this. I don't know. I think they could have... I think if they really were planning this out better, they would have had more time to, like, write a better script and maybe not get Joe Johnston to direct this.
Yeah.
Because there were so many better directors that they could have probably chosen. Brad, he's a huge fan of The Rocketeer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great movie.
But has he made another great movie?
No.
Yeah, I remember because Joe Johnston did this and Wolfman within a year of each other. My reaction to, because both that Wolfman and this, I was really looking forward to when I saw he was directing both. My reaction was kind of like, eh. And both, that was pretty much when I saw the movies, like with the Wolfman remake, I was like, eh. And I liked this better than the Wolfman remake, but I still think, like I said, I think half of it is a great movie, and then the other half is like an okay movie.
Captain America also is a movie that, I mean, yeah, it doesn't stray away. I feel like, I don't know what the importance of having the film is at all. But, yeah, I don't know. When you're talking about Wolfman, he follows the formula,
mm-hmm.
and it fails him. And in this, he follows the formula, but it's maybe not the most interesting thing. Is he just like a studio director and just does whatever everyone tells
so.
Him to do?
No, I think his background was...
Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah, he it's did. Yeah. Terrible, shit.
Terrible movie.
Yeah, cause I think his background was that he was a storyboard artist for George Lucas and Spielberg. And he got to start directing episodes of the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles and then jumped to films. And you could tell, like, there's lots of Spielberg and Lucas in his directing mm-hmm. style. Like, I don't think he really has a style of his own.
So in this movie, Steve Rogers is a malnourished, like, he has a lot of physical problems, but he has a good heart. And through wanting to help America, through wanting to be like a soldier, like everybody else in his hometown, he's given the ability to have that, and then some. And he slowly earns respect from a bunch of people that are not going to be in the next movie because of time.
Yeah.
and they do have one bond that will come back later. And hopefully, I would like to see the Red Skull come back, but he is like a very flat, almost pointless villain.
I speculate because Thanos is going to get the time gem that he, or the, even the space gem, that he can bring Red Skull back if he wanted to.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see Skull come back because, you know, you can interpret...
Maybe the Guardians find him, too.
Yeah, people were questioning that it's kind of like... It doesn't look like he, like, disappeared or, like, that he dies. It almost more or less looks like...
He's transported.
He gets sucked into space mm-hmm. like he could
yeah, cause it looks
come
like,
back eventually.
It looks almost like it's like a Bifrost just
yeah.
transporting
yeah.
him somewhere. And, you know, I know a couple other fans have been rooting for him to make a comeback. And I read an interview somewhere where they said originally in the script for the Avengers, it was Red Skull and Loki as the villains. But then they decided to go with just Loki, which I think is a better move. But I think Skull could still very much reemerge at some point.
Absolutely.
One of the weird things, like they never... Like Marvel does not reuse any of their villains. Like they've...
Disposable
almost
villains.
All of them besides yeah. Loki, it's like they're in one movie and then they're like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
they're like,
that's
no, we don't want you
best.
We don't want you in any other movies.
That's why later in movies that we'll talk about, specifically Civil War, I think benefits from kind of making the antagonist somebody that you know really well.
Sure.
It really conflicts the viewer as to like what the views are, and not just the bad guy that needs to be destroyed.
Yeah.
But to say, I'm looking at Joe Johnston's filmography. He had quite the run early in his career, and I don't know where he just dropped off. He did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, I knew. Oh, I thought he did Honey, I Shrunk
the
Kids.
The Rocketeer, The Pagemaster,
yeah.
Jumanji.
He did Jumanji?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Jurassic Park 3, Hidalgo, The Wolfman.
Hey, Hidalgo.
Captain America, The First Avenger.
I did like Hidalgo, yeah.
And he's set to direct the next Chronicles of Narnia movie.
I didn't know they're making another
comic. I didn't either.
They have to. Time has to pass before they're able to make the next movie.
What?
they don't make a lot of money off the movie, so they have to find the money to do the next one.
Because I thought you were talking about because the kids had to
age. Well, I knew the last couple of Narnia movies weren't all that successful. That's why I didn't think.
It has absolutely no release date. That's very, everything's like to be announced.
Yeah.
And in those movies, the kids age like between the books so much that they, yeah, they can all be recast in the movies. But I do, what I do really like about this movie is the end. I think the end is like the coolest. I mean, you know where it's going as the audience member because he's in the past. You know he's frozen. You know they're going to find him.
Mm-hmm.
And I love where he wakes up in the 40s. Or sorry, he wakes up in modern times, but it looks like he's in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the game thing so much where he's like, I was there. I remember that game. And that really spooks him, but I do like him bursting through the wall and running away and somehow trusting Samuel Jackson, who looks like he would 100% be the new villain. Like, he does not look like a good guy when he shows up with an eye patch and a black leather coat.
Sam Jackson's character's thing in these Phase 1 movies is appearing out of nowhere, being menacing. Is like, you know, in Thor, in a post-credit scene, like, Selvig turns a corner and Sam Jackson like dramatically announces himself in the same in Iron Man, and this like in the middle of Times Square, and he's like, hey, you can trust me, I'm a good guy, even though everything about me is sinister.
So we have our Stan Lee cameo, which I thought was kind of weak, where he just has that line where Captain America
thought he'd be taller.
Yeah. And then the after credit sequence, he's punching the punching bag and he punches it really hard, and then Samuel Jackson asks him to join the Avengers.
Yeah,
it's the scene from the Avengers, his introduction scene.
Yeah, that's the big twist.
He says, are you trying
to give me back the world?
Yeah, he says, trying to save it.
Is that Joe Johnston, or is that Joss Whedon?
That's Joss Whedon.
Because that scene looks better than the entire movie that I just watched.
I told Justin, because when I was watching it on Blu-ray, and then it like immediately goes into just a trailer for the Avengers, and I was like, I can't wait for May 2012 because that Avengers movie just. Oof.
Yeah, it's the same on my DVD. It's because it's that, then it's a trailer. And I think it was like that. It was like that in theaters too.
The last movie that I think did that was Matrix Reloaded. You waited until the end and it had the trailer for Revolutions. But
it didn't end up like Revolutions.
This was an ugly. And now I'm going to judge the trailer. The trailer for Avengers, I'm sure it was exciting at the time, but it's really quick, like bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah. And it's just like cut.
At the time, it was still shooting. So that trailer, because I even remember seeing a theater being like, "This trailer definitely is just, this is all we have right now, and enjoy it." Because I think it was shooting or just wrapped by the time First Avenger came out.
Yeah. Who is the MVP of this movie?
I'm gonna go if not Chris Evans, because I think he's great. Stanley Tucci is Erskine. I think he's great in this movie.
I can agree with that.
That's exactly who I was thinking, because I feel like there's better Chris Evans, better Captain America. And of this movie, of all the characters, he feels the most real. Like, when they're doing that drinking scene, and he's like, oh, you can't drink tomorrow, you have your exam. So he pours it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only one that really makes his, like, little one-liners work.
Yeah.
Where he's like, are we gonna drink tonight? I'm sorry, I drank all of it. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought he's great, and he, you know, I mean, Stanley Tucci, I think, is one of those guys that steals any movie he's in, and I think this is another great example of him doing that, where he just brings a lot to this role that I think could have been very forgettable.
I can tell you're a big Tucci fan.
Oh, I love Stanley Tucci.
He's in the Tucci gang.
Did you ever see the Transformers The Last Night?
Mm-hmm. I didn't see The Last Night, but I saw the one before.
He plays like Merlin. He's like drunk.
Wait, what? He plays Merlin.
Yeah. Now we make you want to see that movie.
Well, the last movie, he played like that tech guy, and all of a sudden he's
a scumbag tech guy.
He's pulling double duty.
He's Merlin?
What? Yeah. Okay, now.
Yeah.
There's two things together, Transformers and Merlin.
I think we've got some. Yeah. I think two people are going to go over and watch
Transformers movie tonight. Well, I remember in Transformers 4, his character is portrayed as like kind of a scumbag, but all of a sudden in Transformers 4, there's like a 20-minute sequence where his character becomes like the main character of the movie. Yeah. What the fuck?
And his character goes to China, and that's when you realize, oh, right, China paid for a lot of this
movie. Where like every other character in the movie disappears, and it's just you following Stanley Tucci's character. Yep. And you can tell by his performance that he knows exactly what kind of a movie he's in, and he's just not giving a shit.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is somebody was talking about, they're like, how do they get these actors into these Transformers movies? They're like, you've got John Turturro, Francis McDormand, Stanley Tucci. They're like, this sounds like extras for the latest Coen Brothers movie. But no, they're in the Transformers series.
I have to read, I wrote some terrible notes while watching this just to amuse myself. And this deals a little bit with Stanley Tucci. I wrote, it's successful. Steve is buff. Everyone is happy, especially Agent Carter. A secret Hydra agent kills Tucci, who touches Steve's muscles as he dies.
Everyone is touching Steve's pecs.
He, like, scene, yeah. As he's dying, he, like, pinches them, and then he dies.
The secret Hydra agent is Richard Armitage as Thorin Oakenshield from the Hobbit movies.
Huh. What?
Thorin, the dwarven king in Hobbit movies, that's the Hydra agent that kills. Huh.
He actually showed up in something else, and when I was looking up, like, who is this guy? It's like, wasn't because the Hobbit had put so much damn makeup on him.
Wasn't he Hannibal?
The show?
Yeah, wasn't he in that?
That's probably what I looked up.
Yeah, I think it is.
Because I looked him up, like, this guy's so familiar. Oh, is he the,
He's the guy that gets his face.
Isn't he the Red Dragon guy? Isn't he the Red Dragon?
He's got to be the Red Dragon. You're thinking of the guy from Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, Michael Pitt.
Michael Pitt.
He's an actor. He's been, like, he's one of the actors I've been pulling for to be Batman for years, and we probably won't ever get it. But
sounds like we're leaning towards Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
from
I'm with you, James. Go with a good actor that's not known for their name. Batman is so well known, they're gonna want to see Batman.
Yeah, because before they cast Affleck, there's all speculation, and I'm like, get Richard Armitage. Like, he looks the part. He's proven to be like a pretty good actor. He can bring some range to it. He's not like an established name, so bring something new. But
yeah, he would have been a good choice, I think. Any final thoughts on Captain America?
Still a fan. Even with the kind of $2 budget, over CG war part of it, I still think the story in it is close to my heart. You know, like, I still...
You sound like you're accepting an award.
No, I mean, I still feel as though it has its place in the Marvel Universe, and... You know, you can say, well, you could have summed up everything that happened in this movie in a flashback scene, you know, or done a flashback movie. I liked the fact that it was a callback to the 40s, not just took place in the 40s, but a callback to the 40s, you know, and being that I watched my dad's eyes light up because he watched this and because he took that away from
me. No offense, but your dad's eyes light up when he sees the weather girl.
But you're missing my point.
I'm poking fun.
Back to a point when he was a kid and gives him that feel of, you know, nostalgia. I feel as though Joe Johnson, good director, bad director, whichever way you look at it,
he seems 50-50, honestly.
First half of his career, great.
But he did his job. I feel as though he did his job. And you can, you know, say it was a more dumbed-down, watered-down version, you know, whatever. But I think overall the movie does have a place. So.
And I think, you know, we're in the minority and kind of disliking it because, like, I see a lot of people share your opinion, and a lot of people... A very prevalent opinion is that this is the best of the Phase 1 movies.
A lot of people... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the best of the Phase 1, but a lot of people because I remember when Thor and this came out so close, and I'd be like, which one did you like better? And almost every single person would be like, oh, Captain America was so good. Like, almost everybody was like, hated Thor.
I think at that point, the, because of Avengers not being out yet and everything else, people weren't ready for the mystical side. The whimsical side of Thor. So I think
I know somebody that loves Thor.
No, but I'm saying the majority the people that loved Captain America and hated Thor was because they weren't ready for the whimsical side. You know, they were the more cynical, like, oh, this is fucking stupid.
They also do have a similar line in this movie where the Red Skull is talking and he's like, well, the Nazis are coming to, like, inspect, and they're like, we don't believe in your magic. And he's like, magic, science, it's all the same thing. And I'm like, all right, apparently him and Thor have the same thoughts on how the world works.
And that's kind of how the movie starts. You know, they're in
Norway.
Norway, yeah.
With what looks like, it looks more like Thor, and it's like Odin's, what did they call it? Odin's, I think Odin's, I wrote this down because it was early in the movie.
That's what this movie seems to imply, that Tesseract was left, here when the Asgardians came to fight off the Frost Giants. That's kind of what the implication has taken was.
Well, I guess I didn't write it down, but it's they definitely say something about Odin, and Odin hid it, like, in a behind a wall instead of in his tomb.
Yeah, because I think he has a line like, oh yeah, one of the treasures from Odin's vault or something.
Yeah, that's like what it is. So it does have that quick... I honestly forgot about it. And I'm like, oh yeah, this ties right into Thor.
Yeah.
Didn't notice. Forgot about it. But, Jeremy, do you have any thoughts on Captain America?
No.
Wow.
I mean, I enjoyed the movie. The only thing that bugged me was the CGI. Well, the way they edited his head onto the kid's body early on in the movie, but it really has nothing to do with
you made that sound really creepy. They put his head on a child's body.
That's what it looked like to me, and there was like a couple points where like the head and the neck were like becoming disproportionate with everything, and it freaked me out, but that's only if like you're really looking for it.
I'll agree with you there, it was a little off-putting at first, but then I thought about it more and more, and I'm like, well, how else would they have done it? This is actually pretty clever.
For me, it's just it's not a bad movie. It's not terrible. It's not a great movie. It's okay. And with me, when it's like okay, and it's the easiest thing to forget about, then. I mean, but you do kind of have a shakeup in the time periods finally after Iron Man 2, where it's like, okay, we're gonna go to this like celestial Shakespearean world.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go back to 1940s. Avengers kind of travels tiny bit back into space. But then they start... Marvel realizes that they can have fun with their settings as much as their characters.
Yeah.
Any final...
Like I said, I'm a huge Captain America fan. The character means a lot to me just as a smaller guy. Like, you know, I've been skinny all my life. And he was always like a character that I really looked up to. Because of that, because he didn't let that hold him back. And also because he found a way to cheat. Like, I've tried to put on weight, I've tried to bulk up, and nothing happens.
Same here,
and Cap just gets his magic serum, and it was always like a wish fulfillment for me.
Yeah, that's like, you and Chris are the same, like, hyper-metabolism.
Yeah, yeah, just...
Me and Chuck are like, oh, if we could become Ant-Man, it just becomes small.
But I've seen that with a lot of people, where, like, they love Captain America because of that, because, like, you know, they're skinnier guys who aren't really taken seriously because, like, it is a thing of masculinity. If you're seen as, like, the smaller dude, you're seen as, like, less manly.
Yep.
And I've kind of had to deal with that my whole life. But, you know, it took me a long time to get through that, and that's why I loved the character. And
you can relate to it.
Yeah. And the first half of this movie is why I love this character, why I love this story, because it is that. And I think that's why, emotionally, I kind of check out once the second half hits, because the second half just become like all the character
stuff. There's no challenge.
Yeah, and all the character stuff kind of gets lost for like high adventure. But yeah, like I think it's like you said, it's an okay movie, and it's almost a great Captain America movie. But as we will see, you know, we do get two great Captain America movies after this, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would say for me, yeah, I agree. It's like a tale of two movies. Like that first half, you're like, oh, that's cool. I would say I would forget more of this movie. Like I could have probably told you anything from Iron Man 1 and 2, The Incredible Hulk, and Thor, but it's like this one, rewatching it, I'm like, oh, well, that's a thing that happened. Like I don't, and I know I've probably seen this movie more than Thor or Iron Man do, and I still, I don't know, it just doesn't stick, and I don't know, maybe that's because, maybe Thor sticks more because it's got the, oh yeah, I remember, because he had that weird goofy camera angle when he was shooting that, like,
I think that almost translates the worst into the Avengers, though. Like, he, Captain America's character is more affected by the Avengers than anybody in his own movie. And then all these other people seem to be more affected by, like, Anthony Hopkins and Thor has is a huge influence on how Thor is as a person at the end of his movie. I don't know if we really have that with Captain America. But I think overall, I think, like, I haven't read the comics and stuff. On paper, he's very exciting. Like, he's a little more straightforward, which I don't have a problem with him being straightforward good guy. He kind, you kind of have to have that in the mix of all these weird characters that are about to come together in the next movie.
And this story is very similar. It's almost like they did it better with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
They're very similar movies in that they're these heroes using their power to fight in a war. Hers is obviously World War One, but they follow very similar trajectories, and
except
Wonder Woman did it better.
Except for the fact that Wonder Woman doesn't start out something else and become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She always.
Wonder Woman starts out as Thor and becomes Captain.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree with Chuck that Wonder Woman is like a much better version of,
yeah,
of this movie.
They follow some very similar plot points.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us, guys, on the internet. We are on iTunes or Google Play Music. You can subscribe to us. We really like when people rate us and review us and tell us how they feel about us. That's important to us. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter at Cinema D'Amore. I am personally at JJMorgan19, and the rest of us.
I'm at James Reinhardt.
I'm ChuckFinn66.
I'm at Sinister Dick.
Thank you for listening, and say your Stanley
Excelsior.